hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and give a sunny side of sports salute to Unity FM, the Voice of America's partner station in Jos, Nigeria. And here's a sporty hello to Lorai Garba, Unity FM's general manager. She reports her station organized a Unity soccer competition last week among the young people in Jos to foster unity and love among them. And yes, some of those delightful and much coveted VOA goodies were handed out to the participants as prizes. And this geographical item for our Voice of America listeners, in addition to being the home of Unity FM, Jos is also the birthplace of Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta, the VOA's longtime and still reigning prince of pugilistics. Meanwhile, it's not just football uniting young people in Jos. One Nigerian says he's using roller skating to bring the youth together. Reporter Ilyasu Kasimu in Jos has the story for us while Salem Solomon narrates.
His name is Bashir Sel Mohammed Dankumbo, but he goes by Basi, or size 2, and he's using roller skating to unite young people in the streets of Jos, in Nigeria's middle belt.
I started skating in 1990. Actually, that's when I created my own rollerblades from scratch. At that time, I experimented using scrap metals, which I tested out in the neighborhood. People used to wonder, what is that? I first saw rollerblades in a Jackie Chan movie, Winners and Sinners, and I thought to myself, if he can do it, so can I.
His goal is to bring youth together from different backgrounds to bridge their differences through skating.
I was able to bring together youth from different neighborhoods, religious and tribal backgrounds. We have developed a bond of love and understanding between us where we come together often to practice in the stadium.
But his talent isn't just roller skating. He is also an artist with a passion for painting.
I'm also a creative artist. I can draw and paint. In the beginning, my mother thought I was crazy.
Since his first grade, he would always run out of pencils before any of his siblings. He would always lay on his tummy, drawing and tracing all kinds of figures and shapes that filled up his notebooks fast.
Bashir is one of many young men in Jos and other parts of Nigeria who refuse to let unemployment or economic hardship prevent them from living a fulfilling life. In 2010, Jos was the scene of violent clashes that often pitted Christians against Muslims. Bashir sees roller skating as a positive outlet for young people to channel their energy.
I have encountered many challenges along the way. A lot of people used to ridicule me as a disillusioned, jobless person or sarcastically hail me as an action hero boy.
Bashir hopes to share his talent with more young men so they can steer away from taking negative paths.
And thanks to Salem Solomon for the narration and reporter Ilyasu Kasimu in Jos for that story. I mentioned Jos homeboy Nnamdi Moeta earlier. Nnamdi reports Mexican boxing star Saul Canelo Alvarez and the Ugandan lion Sharif Bogere both posted victories over the weekend here in the United States. Fighting near Dallas, Texas, Canelo stopped British opponent Liam Smith with a body shot in the ninth round to win the WBO light middleweight title. It was Canelo's 50th professional fight, and he now has a record of 48 wins, one loss, and one draw. In Las Vegas, Nevada, Sharif Bogere scored a fourth-round technical knockout victory over Colombia's Luis Eduardo Flores. This was a non-title bout in the super lightweight division. It was also Bogere's 30th professional fight, and he now has a record of 29 victories and one defeat with 20 knockouts. The United States had more than a few gold medal-winning female stars at the Rio Olympics last month in Brazil. Among them, gymnast Simone Biles, swimmer Katie Ledecky, and wrestler Helen Maroulis. Helen celebrated her 25th birthday on Monday, and she chatted with me recently in a wide-ranging interview from her birthplace of Rockville, Maryland, just outside Washington, D.C. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again as I ask Helen, can you take our Voice of America listeners back to that medal ceremony in Rio? How did you feel when you had the gold medal placed around your neck?
Oh, it was, wow. It was surreal. It was very emotional. It's like everything that you work for, and it's been my dream for 17 years. Many times you don't see any payback for the investments that you make, but getting that gold medal, to me, I'm like, everything was worth it. You know, the times I didn't succeed, all the sacrifices that I had to make, and then just being reminded of my family and everything that they've done and sacrificed for me and my coaches, and I'm receiving this medal, and it's like all of us, this group effort. So it's awesome.
In the final, you beat Japan's Saori Yoshida 4-1. And I was reading some of the reports. You really showed a lot of respect to Yoshida. You know, you said you were honored to wrestle her. Many say she's the greatest female wrestler of all time. What are your thoughts on Yoshida?
Oh, my gosh. She's an incredible, incredible athlete. And, it really was an honor to wrestle her. I just remember thinking, I'm like, just don't retire before I get to wrestle you. Not to prove anything or anything like that, but it's like, here's this legend in the sport. And I'm like, if I don't get to wrestle her, it's just going to be, you know, she's in history for being one of the greatest wrestlers for all of time. And like, it's just so cool to be wrestling, in the same time while she's still competing. And so I'm like, I've always wanted that opportunity to wrestle her once more, and especially with all the scouting and everything that I did. I know I almost lost to North Korea, and I just thought, man, I spent so many hours focusing on Yoshida. If I don't get to wrestle her, this is going to just feel terrible. So I really wanted to, I just wanted the honor to compete with her. And I do think, I mean, she's so respectful. And after I won in 2015, you know, we won at different weights, and she came up to me the next day and shook my hand. And at the 2014 World Cup, I got to talk to her a little bit at the banquet, and it's just one of those things. She's so nice to everyone, whether you're in her weight class or not in her weight class, and it's just like, how can you not respect somebody like that?
You talk about scouting Yoshida. I read another report that said you even studied some of her videos in Japanese to try to get inside her head. Is that right?
Yeah, I didn't learn Japanese. I translated some of her interviews because, you know, she only wrestled at the World Championships, so she's pretty much wrestling, you know, once a year. And I'm like, that's just not enough to be able to study someone and the techniques that they're doing. And so, you know, I went back even from 2004 when she wrestled, and it was like, okay, I see she's winning. Her techniques are changing, so what is it that keeps her consistently winning? And that had to be the mental part. So I'm like, I need to figure out how she thinks. And so I just translated some interviews, and I'm sure now somebody can figure out how I think from the amount of talking that I've done. So, you know, it's just one of those things. It helps give you insight into somebody.
Yoshida from Japan, and Japan will host the 2020 Olympics. I guess we'll see you in Tokyo.
Well, you know, I plan to obviously go for Tokyo, but I don't want to be in the mindset that that's my spot, you know, that I have it locked because I don't. I have to earn it. There's a lot of nationals and trials and world championships to fight for. So I definitely want to go for 2020. But, you know, got to take it one step at a time.
Helen, I think you said this whole build-up to Rio was a 17-year process, or is that how long you've been wrestling?
Yeah, 17 years.
Talk about the early days wrestling. I mean, you know, women's wrestling is not widely followed in the United States. Did you get some negative criticism when you first started?
Oh, yeah. When I started wrestling, you know, it was maybe one other girl in the state of Maryland that wrestled, and I grew up wrestling boys, and a lot of times they didn't like that. So there were a lot of times coaches would try and make me quit, or they would, you know, kind of just put guys against me and say, okay, just kind of beat her up until she doesn't come back. And it wasn't that I was, you know, some super tough girl and put my foot down and, you know, nobody can stop me. It wasn't even like that. It was just, man, I really love this. I'm getting beat up, but I still really love this sport, so I'm just going to come back tomorrow. And I'm like, eventually I'll probably get beat up until I start getting better. So I guess I'll learn from this. And but, you know, people come around, and I think part of it is just it seems taboo to people, or they don't know my reasons or intentions. But when they see that I love the sport and that, you know, I have a dream with it and that I work hard, people change their approach.
That's Olympic wrestling champion Helen Maroulis of the USA. And Helen was speaking with me from her birthplace of Rockville, Maryland, just outside Washington, D.C.
I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America. VOA.
Golf news now on the VOA. Local favorite Francesco Molinari won his home Italian Open tournament for a second time over the weekend. The 2006 champion triumphed in a terrific duel with Masters winner Danny Willett, finishing at 22 under par for a one-stroke victory. It's Molinari's first European Tour victory in 4 years and his fourth trophy overall. Reporter Nick Dye asked the 33-year-old Italian how he was feeling after his victory.
Amazing, amazing, especially, you know, the way it happened, playing in the last group. You know, it turned out to be head-to-head against Danny, and obviously he's a great player. I wish him, you know, the best for the Ryder Cup. But I'm very proud of how I played today, especially when the long game kind of left me the last few holes. You know, it is special for me to win this way. It's definitely the first time I win this way, so very, very proud of it.
How would you compare the two victories 10 years apart?
This was much, much harder. No comparison. You know, 10 years ago, I didn't even know what I was doing. So it was, you know, there were fewer expectations. I was just playing, you know, enjoying today, coming down the last few holes. It was proper pressure, so I did it somehow, maybe not the prettiest way, but, you know, that's the cup in my arms is the thing that matters, and I'm very proud.
Is it all the more satisfying to get the win, given what you've come so close on so many occasions over the last 4 years since the previous victory?
Yeah, I always had a great start, you know, in the Italian Opens the last few years. So when I had another good start this year, I was telling the guys, you know, it's just one-fourth of the tournament. I don't want to do like the other years and drop back in the next few rounds. So it went, you know, perfectly to plan. It was great to get the lead this morning, and obviously it was great to stretch it a little bit, the front nine, and then the last few holes didn't go accordingly to plan, but it worked, so that's all that matters.
But it is 4 years since your previous win as well, so it must be nice just to get that out of the way.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's every time I win, I say it. I hope it's not going to be as long as last time. It needs to be a beginning for me. You know, I think I've shown everyone today how much I've improved in the parts of the game where, you know, I wasn't so good a few years ago. So I just need to keep working and keep getting more of these.
Have you got an appreciation of just the growth of this championship and the wonderful support this week?
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, to see not only the amount of people, but the amount of kids out there, you know, enjoying the golf and walking around. It's been a great atmosphere. Even Alex and Danny today were telling me how impressed they were. So I think, you know, we made, not only me, but everyone made the country proud today.
Making Italy proud, that's Italian golfer Francesco Molinari, who won his home Italian Open tournament. And Molinari was talking with reporter Nick Dye. And for our VOA golf fans keeping score, Molinari is the first Italian to win a European Tour event twice.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
If you were to talk to us from the deepest, bitter part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
And my Voice of America colleague Shaka Sali will be waiting for you at 18:30 GMT UTC on Wednesday with another edition of Straight Talk Africa. Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Happy Tuesday and sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What is trending in the sports world?
Well, let me start with what's trending in the world, breaking news that has the whole internet a tizzy, and that is Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie getting divorced. So hashtag Brangelina's trending. So on that note, I want to talk about kind of sports and celebrity today. And I'll start with a real celebrity, and that's America Ferrera. Of course, famous actress known for the show Ugly Betty, where she played the title character. And we're talking about her today on the sunny side of sports because just this past weekend, congratulations to her, she completed a triathlon.
Wow.
Did it in 3 hours, 42 minutes. Had the whole thing documented on her Instagram, had friends that were filming her triumphantly crossing the finish line with her arms raised. But the unique thing about this is that just a few hours later, she was at a pre-party for the Emmy Awards, which are the big TV awards here in the U.S. And so she went from finishing a triathlon and grinding this out to being on the red carpet at a party. And, you know, when celebrities get on the red carpet, they're all dressed up and they're sporting all these accessories and jewelry and things.
Right,
well,
right.
Well, she had one accessory I don't think anybody else had on that red carpet. She was still wearing her triathlon numbers on her upper arm. And so she noted that she took a picture with that and with her number proudly displayed on the red carpet. She put it on her Instagram. She said, from grind to glam, we cleaned up to get to the Emmys evening before party, but I left my tri numbers on because I earned that. And then she uses a bad word we can't say on the air that begins with S, but she earned it for sure. So it was a great way for her to show that off and something that she was really proud of. So it was awesome to see her, you know, usually there's such a difference between the sports world and the entertainment world. One is, you know, you're on the field or you're on the pitch or what have you, and you're dirty and you're scruffing it out. And the red carpet is very much not that. So she brought a little sports to the red carpet, which was kind of cool.
And I think you're right, Andrew. The fact that she left it on her arm shows how much how proud she was of her accomplishment.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's we do see celebrities that are very active that, you know, participate in whether it's races or other sporting events. But we rarely see it where it crosses over to actual red carpet. So it was kind of a neat crossover.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a photo of the Japanese delegation at the Paralympics in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And as you heard earlier in the show, I was asking Helen Maroulis, the Olympic wrestling champion, about Tokyo 2020. And you can see in that photo the Japanese holding Tokyo 2020 signs. So I think they're looking forward to the next Paralympics and Olympics, which will be staged in the Japanese capital. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, we go from an entertainment celebrity with America Ferrera to a sports celebrity, and that's Tim Tebow. We've talked about Tim Tebow on the show before. Of course, he was the quarterback for the University of Florida football team, led them to a national championship, then went to try to play in the National Football League here in the U.S. Couldn't quite make it there, so he decided, you know what, I'll just play Major League Baseball. And the New York Mets, my New York Mets, signed him to a development deal. Well, he took the field for his first practice, and let me tell you, I don't think a development game has ever been covered this heavily. I mean, these are players who are very young, who are very early in their careers, trying to build up the skills.
Right,
And Tim Tebow is now among them as the Mets signed him there. So you saw a lot of video and pictures on social media of this first practice for Tim Tebow. And amazingly as well, you saw Tim Tebow's Development League jersey for sale in the Mets shop online. So they're already selling his jersey with his number on it. And he's just on the lowest team, the lowest kind of rung you can get on the path to playing professional baseball. And he's already has a jersey for sale. So that speaks to his celebrity for sure. And just the interest in this on social media, certainly due to him being a sports celebrity.
And that reminds me, Andrew, when the basketball great Michael Jordan had that brief foray into minor league baseball. But that was pre-social media. We didn't have Facebook or Twitter or Instagram to document Jordan's hitting and running and all that.
Nowadays, if you're in the development league and you strike out in practice or whatever, you're out of luck because it's going to be all over the internet and on Instagram and Twitter and video and everything. So you're in trouble.
What else is trending, Andrew?
So we started with entertainment celebrities and sports celebrities, and now we're going to talk about perhaps a future for sports celebrity, or at least a celebrity of the moment, and that's a young man by the name of Brave Williams. Brave Williams captured the internet's attention. He's an American high school senior. He's a football player at his high school, American football player. He is 7'1" tall, so that's about 2 meters 15. And 400 pounds, it's about 181.5 kilograms. Absolutely massive as a high school senior. I think I was literally about half his height and maybe like a quarter of his weight when I was a high school senior. But he's, you know, plays in the town of Angola, New York for his high school football team, wears a size 21 shoe. And just because of his size, he has captured all this attention and people wondering where is he going to maybe go to college, what he might do in the future professionally, just this massive player. They asked him about this. Several news organizations asked him, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to play football or do you think you'll be successful? And he said, you know, I'd like to play American football, but if that doesn't work out, maybe I'll try basketball. So he might be doing like Tim Tebow, you know, football didn't work out, so he tried baseball. Brave Williams might try basketball. He's certainly tall enough. A lot of comparisons to Shaquille O'Neal, of course. He's incredibly tall, incredibly large player. So a lot of comparisons. But I think that could be a name that we hear in the coming years, whether it's in college athletics or even professional athletics. Watch that name, Brave Williams. And it's a memorable name, too. I think that's why it captured a lot of social media attention.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew, and we'll see you on Wednesday.
Sounds good.
And that wraps up the September 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The U.S. government and our partners welcome the Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission's investigations into the distribution of food assistance along political party lines. As the largest contributor to humanitarian assistance in Zimbabwe, the United States Agency for International Development, USAID, has robust mechanisms in place to ensure that U.S. food assistance goes only to those most in need. While the report did not cite any complaints regarding USAID-funded humanitarian assistance, we are redoubling our efforts to reconfirm and ensure that our assistance is not subject to any form of political manipulation. Since June 2015, the U.S. government has contributed $117 million in response to the El Niño-induced drought in Zimbabwe to meet immediate food security needs, while also building resilience against future droughts. The majority of USAID's food assistance is provided through the World Food Program, or WFP, which does not operate in any of the districts cited in the report. USAID does provide food assistance in Bikata through a long-term food security activity, enhancing nutrition, stepping up resilience and enterprise, ENSURE, implemented by World Vision. ENSURE has numerous oversight mechanisms in place to receive and investigate reports of fraud and abuse, but has not received any reports of diversion of food aid or undue pressure on their staff. The U.S. government has rigorous processes for safeguarding food assistance. Our food commodities can be distinguished from other sources by their packaging, which is marked with the American flag and USAID logo. USAID also channels all food through WFP and other non-governmental organizations, and the food goes directly to the beneficiaries with no intermediary. USAID and our partners have robust measures in place to carefully and thoroughly monitor food distribution. This includes verifying transparent targeting of beneficiaries, ensuring smooth distribution of the food, and following up after distribution to ensure that the food reached its intended beneficiaries. Most importantly, these measures allow community members to report grievances or complaints in a direct or anonymous manner. There is a suggestion box and a help desk at all food distribution points, as well as a toll-free hotline. USAID takes our responsibility to assist those most in need, regardless of political affiliation or geographic location, very seriously, and will continue to actively investigate any and all reports of possible political manipulation of U.S. government food assistance.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Tuesday on Health Chat, join host Lenore Modou discussing the importance of breastfeeding. It's not only the cornerstone for a child's healthy development, but also the foundation of a country's development. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-619-3111. Else chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Next on Straight Talk Africa, the 71st United Nations General Assembly is underway in New York, including a first-of-its-kind summit of heads of state and government to address large movements of refugees and migrants with the aim of bringing countries together behind a more humane and coordinated approach. We'll discuss that and other issues next, right here on Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.